Welcome on in to ESPN West Palm today. As always, I'm your host, Mike Rizzo. And joining us now is a very special guest. It's Dr. Alan Stein, a neurosurgeon with the Palm Beach Health Network and the Brain and Spine Center of South Florida. And Doc, first off, thanks so much for joining us. I understand that this is your first month down here in South Florida being a full-time employee. Congratulations.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me here. It's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate the opportunity. Yeah, I just finished my training up at Cleveland Clinic, did my complex spine fellowship up there, and just starting out. Nice to be back home in South Florida.
And being from Cleveland, we were reminiscing about old parts on West 25th, having a lot of fun. So you're already good in my book, partner, living in Cleveland, Ohio for a little bit.
Love it.
But listen, I know this is a topic that a lot of people kind of, it's really been something that's come on the last, 15, 20 years. Myself, it's kind of close to home too. My family, we're family friends with Bernie Kosar, and we've seen him kind of deal with concussions and not necessarily know they were concussions at the time. To make it a simple answer to kind of start things off, Doc, what's the first sign of a football, not even football, of a sports-related concussion? Is it dizziness? Is it feeling out of sorts? What are the first signs of a sports-related concussion?
Sure. I mean, that's a great question. And it can be, the signs can vary. In general, what I like to tell patients and what I like to tell coaches and parents is when in doubt, take them out. There was this old mentality of, kind of just let them walk it off. They're not feeling great. That's all right. They say they feel fine. If the player is saying they're okay, then it's fine to let them keep going. But if there's any doubt, take them out of the game. It's the safest thing to do. Now, how they can present can vary. I mean, it could be a headache. It could be dizziness. They could feel off balance. They can have some visual disturbances such as, double vision, blurred vision. And it can be temporary. It could last only a few seconds. But any of these, red flag signs, any warning signs, if you have any doubt, just have them sit out of the game, have them see a specialist, have them get evaluated. I think in the past, people would say, have them sit in a dark room for 24 hours and they can get back to activities. But There's a whole process of getting them back into the game safely.
Now, Dr. Alan Stein is our guest, a neurosurgeon with the Palm Beach Health Network and the Brain and Spine Center of South Florida. Now, if we can, Doc, let's focus on the football side a little bit, because there have been a couple of new, technologies that have come out as far as preventing concussions. We got the Guardian Caps. Are you a believer in the Guardian Caps? And is this something you think that football players should look into if they're worried about maybe concussions?
Sure, that's a great question. I think the Guardian Caps, it's nuanced, right? It shouldn't be interpreted as just additional padding that gives them permission for more reckless play. Mm-hmm. In general, it's just another layer of protection, right? Helmets are a layer of protection. The Guardian pads are another layer of protection, but it doesn't replace good technique. And I think that, there's been some new coaching techniques that have come up. The heads up football has been, a push towards training coaches and parents to safer tackling techniques, tackling with the shoulders, not leading with the head. That's what causes the injuries. That's what causes concussions. It's, direct impact to the head.
And then Docker, there are any misconceptions when it comes to concussions, maybe symptoms, how long somebody should be out? Are there any common misconceptions that people maybe kind of look at concussions and go, all right, this is how it is or this how it should be?
I think the biggest misconception is that people believe that, a concussion means that the player loses consciousness. But in reality, only about 10% of people that suffer a concussion actually lose consciousness. Mm-hmm. As we talked about earlier, the symptoms can vary. They can be, just feeling off sorts. But if they sustained a significant impact to the head, there's a chance they might have a concussion and the symptoms might come on immediately or they might come on gradually. They might happen within, a couple minutes to a couple hours. A player might go home and, be like, oh, what happened today? Mm-hmm. Or they might just get up after a hit and say, hey, what play is it? Or how far into the game are we? What just happened? These are all signs that, hey, something's wrong.
Yep. Now, Doc, off of that, and once again, Dr. Alan Stein, a neurosurgeon with the Palm Beach Health Network and the Brain and Spine Center of Florida, is our guest. How do you determine if it is a concussion? Is it a brain scan? Like maybe for the more serious ones, are you looking at something specifically when it comes to the brain? Because I feel like head injuries, there was a lot of unknown there for a little bit, but I feel like as we've, you know, progressed in science and in the medical field, we've really been able to pinpoint some of this stuff.
Sure. That's a great question. So concussions are purely symptom-based, is a purely symptom-based diagnosis. So it's defined as a mild traumatic brain injury. And by mild traumatic brain injury, I'll define that a little bit better. It's essentially an impact to the head or the neck that causes the brain within the skull to jolt. But it won't show up on imaging. So if you scan them, do an MRI or a CAT scan, it won't show any abnormality to the brain. But it's more so the player will complain of some symptoms. It can vary from, you know, symptoms such as headaches, dizziness, nausea, vomiting. They might just have some irritability, some increased anxiety, some agitation. Might feel a little drowsy, sleepy, or they might have some insomnia. These are all signs that the player suffered a concussion. So in general, what the latest guidelines are is don't let them go back and play right away. Mm-hmm. They have to go through a 6-step process. And the process, each step is about 24 hours of kind of watching and seeing what happens. So the first 24 hours, let them go back to light activity. Just normal day-to-day routine. Like if they work, let them go back to work, let them go back to school, but no exertion. If they feel fine, don't have any worsening symptoms after the first 24 hours, then they can start doing some light aerobic activity, like walking around, maybe getting on a stationary bike, but nothing too crazy. Just kind of getting their heart rate up just a little bit.
Now, Doc, concussions, obviously dealing with the head and the brain, the spine has something to do with concussions too. Am I right on this? At times, depending on the hit and maybe the injury?
So the spine itself does not, okay. Or the neck doesn't necessarily correlate to the concussion, but hit to the neck. So the neck obviously supports, the cervical spine supports the skull or the head. Mm-hmm. So what the concussion occurs from is a sudden acceleration, a rapid acceleration and deceleration. As the head accelerates from a hit, the brain kind of jolts within it and it gets knocked around, mm-hmm. for want of a better term. And that's what causes the traumatic brain injury, that mild traumatic brain injury that we're talking about.
Now, Dr. Alan Stein is our guest, a neurosurgeon with the Palm Beach Health Network and the Brain and Spine Center of South Florida. I mentioned Doc being not new to South Florida because he went to FAU. He's a proud FAU Owl. But Doc, what's your average day to day going to look like? For maybe our listeners that don't necessarily know what a neurosurgeon does, obviously it's surgery and stuff like that. But are you going to be treating patients as well with head injuries? Are you maybe going to be seeing some local high school football players that are dealing with stuff? What's your day to day going to look like with our good friends at the Palm Beach Health Network?
That's a great question. So a lot of people, when I tell them that I'm a neurosurgeon, they immediately think that
you're on the operating table.
That
right?
I'm just on the operating table and that all I do is brain surgeries. Mm-hmm. Now, what neurosurgeons do is varies. It's a wide variety of pathologies or diseases of the brain and the spine that we treat. So we treat everything from brain injuries, brain tumors, diseases of the blood vessels within the brain, as well as the spine and spinal cord. Mm-hmm. And so the spine obviously makes up the cervical spine, the thoracic spine, and the lumbar spine. So I specialized in adult and pediatric complex spine surgery, so dealing with scoliosis in both adults and children. So my primary interest is treating patients with injuries and or, you know, arthritis and scoliosis of the spine, but also we'll be dealing with injuries to the brain from trauma, including sports injuries.
Yep.
So I will definitely see, you know, football players, either FAU football players or, you know, local kids that are playing football that get referred to see me.
Now, Doc, off of that, do you have any advice? And listen, I appreciate you joining us once again. Dr. Alan Stein joining us. Is there any advice you'd give to parents maybe that their child had a concussion or maybe a college player, whoever it may be that have dealt with concussions before? Do you have any advice for them for the future of hoping, you know, this might not happen again, a concussion and preventing a concussion?
Sure. It's all about safety, tackling techniques, you know, wearing your protective gear, trying to avoid impacts to the head.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important thing.
And it's the guardian castle help and stuff like that, technique. You know, you mentioned the technique. Gosh, when I was playing football, it was heads up. And I feel like that was the absolute opposite what you should be doing. So I like to see the progression that is coming there. Because myself, I did struggle with concussions. And one of the reasons I quit football was because I had two or three. I'm like, all right, this is enough. I played basketball. I played golf. You know, I'm like, I decided to hang up the cleats in football because it just seemed like every other game something was happening with the head. So when do you think parents should sign up kids for tackle football? Is there a certain age? Because honestly, Doc, I started playing fourth grade as soon as I could. You know, growing up in Northeast Ohio with how crazy we were in football, I started playing in the fourth grade. Is there a sweet spot where you think tackle football should be started?
You know, I don't think there's a specific age, but obviously the later you start your child at tackle sports, the better, right? Because there's, you know, I'm sure people have heard of CTE or chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which, although there's no direct link to football in particular, but we know that, you know, it's a neurodegenerative disorder, essentially meaning that it's caused by degeneration of certain proteins that are normally found in the brain and in normal brain cells that get injured and damaged and lead to brain dysfunction later in the age. And it's linked to impact sports and or activities that involve impact to the head. So military blasts, hockey players, football players, MMA fighters, boxers. Now, how many hits to the head does it take for that to occur? There's no science behind that. There's no number. But the later you get your child into tackle sports or impact sports, the better. There are other options like flag football or non-tackle sports that can be, you know, earlier on explored.
Once again, Dr. Alan Stein joining us, a neurosurgeon with the Palm Beach Health Network and the Brain and Spine Center of South Florida. Now, Doc, you deal with more things over at the Brain and Spine Center of South Florida than concussions, maybe stingers, spine injuries. Can you maybe explain a little bit what else you guys do at the Brain and Spine Center of South Florida?
Yeah, of course. So as it relates to sports injuries, concussions are a big one and probably the most common sports injury that we get called about or see. But cervical spine injuries are very important to be aware of as well. The neck obviously supports the head and it's not padded or protected. So, you know, the way I kind of break it down is three types of injuries that you can see in the cervical spine. One is stingers, which are a peripheral nerve injury. It's a temporary injury to a peripheral nerve, which is a nerve not in the spinal cord itself, but exiting the spinal cord. And usually what a player will complain of is some temporary numbness, maybe even weakness in just one arm or one leg. And it kind of gets better pretty quickly.
Yep.
But the important thing to note is that if a stinger happens, the patient should get evaluated by a spine surgeon, get some imaging, probably get an MRI of the spine, make sure that there's no tightness around the spinal cord or those nerve roots, anything that needs to be addressed before they can get back into the game. The second type of injury would be a cervical cord neuropraxia or a transient quadriparesis. Now, what that means, those are fancy terms, but essentially a concussion to the spinal cord. So if there's some tightness around the spinal cord and a player gets a strong hit and they wake up and they feel numb in their body, all four limbs, or all of a sudden can't move and they feel paralyzed, but it gets better after a few minutes or even a couple hours. It's not a spinal cord injury, but it's more a concussion to the spinal cord. Now, that definitely warrants a workup, needs to be evaluated with some imaging, make sure that they're safe to get back into the game. And then lastly, the least common injury that we see, but probably the most severe, would be a spinal cord injury, which would mean, you know, a fracture of one of the bones in the spine that led to the spinal cord getting compressed, or just a really tight spinal cord and they took a pretty big hit and the spinal cord got contused or bruised and now they have a permanent weakness and need emergency surgery. We don't see that often, but it's something to be aware of. And so if a player can't get up or they're complaining, hey, I can't feel my body, or hey, I feel like I'm paralyzed, don't have them get up from the field. It should be, every one of these injuries should be treated as a spinal cord injury. EMS should be called. The patient should keep their helmet on and should only be removed by a trained professional. They should be log rolled, meaning, you know, kept strictly immobilized and rolled and moved onto a stretcher and be evaluated by a spine surgeon.
Now, Doc, let me ask you this, because I actually saw this before. I was a coach of a team, and something happened to where the other player kind of started hit his head, and what looked like to me was having a seizure. You know, and they lifted his legs up. Is that something that you've seen before as well when it comes to head injuries where you smack your head hard and maybe someone starts seizing up a bit?
Yeah, a bad impact to the head or a bad impact to the brain, you know, can cause a traumatic brain injury. And one of the signs that patients present with could be seizures.
Okay.
And that usually could be a sign of a more severe underlying injury. And usually if a player were to present with a seizure, then that would be something that we would treat as not just a concussion, but probably would warrant them getting a scan of the head
right.
to make sure that there's no, you know, brain bleed or more severe injury to the brain.
Now, Dr. Alan Stein joining us said he is a Philadelphia fan. He's originally from Philadelphia. You know, we got the hard part over. We got the doctor stuff over with. Now it's time to get into some of the fun stuff. Now, you explained to me you're an Eagle fan, you're a Sixer fan, and a Philly fan.
Sure am. And, go Birds.
And I'm at your mercy, Doc, because I did call the Philly fan disgusting. LeBron James, my favorite athlete ever, a hero of mine, being a Cleveland kid. You know, I was very excited for him possibly to come back home. Now, granted, I thought I couldn't lose because we're home of the Miami Heat here on ESPN 106.3, and I'm a transplant Heat fan as well. I said, he's coming to one of my teams. He's either coming to the Heat or he's either going home to Cleveland. So it's a win-win either way. And lo and behold, he goes to Philly. He goes to the fan base that scorned him. I think maybe outside the Boston fan did it the most, and then a Philly fan. Were you excited when LeBron came, or was it more like, oh my God, why is this guy coming to the 76ers?
I'll have to say, myself and all of my friends that are all Philly fans, we're all pretty excited.
Oh, man. You know, I got a problem with that. You guys rooted against him his entire career, and now, you know, you see where I'm coming from here?
I see, but, you know, we want a championship.
Yeah, now, obviously trolling, Doc, but that's starting five next year. I mean, I'd put it up there that Golden State starting five that won 73 games. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, you know, Durant and Curry, they're going to be able to compete maybe with the likes of that. But I think that's a team that's ready to win a championship. Is that the sense around Philadelphia that it's championship or bust the 2 years that LeBron is there?
Totally. Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think this is going to be a good year for Philly sports.
Now, the Eagles just recently won a Super Bowl, and I understand you were watching the game with a ton of buddies. Does that memory hold a special place in your heart, watching the Birds win the whole thing?
Oh, my God, what a night that was. We were cheering, and we were screaming, go Birds, fly, Eagles, fly. That was quite a moment. It was an exciting day. Unfortunately, they didn't, you know, they kind of dropped the ball last season, but I'm hoping this will be a better season.
Now, Doc, thanks so much for joining. Welcome back to the South Florida community, and can't wait to see what you're going to do here with us now with the Brain and Spine Center of South Florida. Thank you so much for joining us.
Appreciate it, Mike. Thanks for having me.
That was Dr. Alan Stein, a neurosurgeon with the Palm Beach Health Network and the Brain and Spine Center of South Florida. We're coming right back here on ESPN West Palm today.